So I'm going to summarize. Pardon?
Please, and Ms. Cobell, would you, for the record, please introduce the attorney that is accompanying you?
Yes, I will. With me today is Bill Doris, one of the plaintiff's attorneys, and he'll be joining me for any comments or questions. And I think it's really very important to tell this committee is that I didn't bring this case on behalf of tribes. I brought this case on behalf of over 500,000 individual Indians and many who I know and many who have suffered from the mismanagement of this Indian Trust Funds. And it is the largest class action lawsuit. I was a little taken back by saying the word transparency. This has been going on for 14 years, and we have posted constantly, and newspapers have covered it and over about what has happened in this court case. And I think that there is much more consensus, as Secretary Hayes has stated, in individual Indians knowing about this case. I flew in late last night from South Dakota, where I've been visiting, swiping my own personal credit card, but visiting tribes, individual Indians at tribal locations. And I was overjoyed what it made me feel, because sometimes you feel, you know, that there's a lot of Monday night quarterbacks and everything, you know, the last, right, you're right down to the bottom, getting ready to make the touchdown, and then everybody starts yelling and screaming, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. Well, it was overwhelming to me to get out to Indian country and to individual Indians, and not that I haven't been out to Indian country before, because I've been, I have traveled extensively in Indian country updating individual Indians on this case, but I was extremely rewarded by just looking at the people that we represented and the thank yous and the appreciation that was extended by elderly people, young people. And I think where the real confusion really existed was with the tribes. The tribal council members would get up and talk about, oh, you're going to extinguish your rights in the Black Hills. And it was constantly correcting misinformation that existed out there. That was one of the reasons that I actually started going out to Indian country immediately before Congress approved this settlement, because of the misinformation. And it was important for individual Indians to hear the facts. And as they learned the facts, you cannot believe the amount of, like, personal notes that were written and, yes, we want to move forward. We feel this is a stepping stone. We understand that this is not the end-all to all the problems that exist in Indian country, that this is something that has been accomplished, and we feel good about this victory. We feel very good about this victory. I was very impressed by a young man in Pine Ridge who got up and had been reading since a young man at the beginning of this case and informed all his family members constantly about what this case meant and what it meant for all individual Indians. Very bright, and it just overwhelmingly gave me the satisfaction of the young people that have been affected by this case, and that, yes, they do have rights, and they do have a voice, and that a lot of times what I heard over the last couple of days is tribal councils do not represent them, and they wanted me to make sure that I understood that, because sometimes they felt that they couldn't trust tribal councils, and so they wanted me to understand that, and they told me over and over. And as we continued to travel South Dakota and we're visiting every single reservation in South Dakota, it's been overwhelming. There's almost no opposition to this settlement as far as individual Indians. I think where we really ran into problems is just the total misinformation, and that's why we're out there. I just like to say something. I was deeply hurt by the corrosion that the professor allegated, you know, and I want to tell you that these negotiations were tough. They were hard, and I think that I did the best job that I could, and along with my class counsel, to negotiate a settlement. I felt, you know, we were owed much more money. But, you know, this could go on for hundreds of years. And people are dying. Individual Indians that are owed this money are dying every single day. And we had to reach, a time that we put the past before us and get some money out to individual Indians that are owed. And so the driving force, and I really would like to thank Attorney General Tom Pirelli and Deputy Secretary Hayes, Solicitor Hillary Tompkin, because, you know, at times I wanted to walk out of the meetings. I said, no, you know, we're not accepting this. And one of the issues that I thought was very, very important is for the future. What about the future of our young people? And worked very hard for a scholarship fund that be dedicated to educating our young people so we never have to go through this again. We should never have to go through this abuse that the United States government has done to individual Indians. And I just don't want that to happen, and I want every individual young person to be educated so we don't have to. You don't know when I was walking over, you don't know how many times I've testified before the Senate committee, this committee. It's been numerous. I started with Mike Sionar, who the chairman recognized, and you know, he was totally incredible. He was the person that started it. But probably 20 some times. And sometimes it just gets so tiring because you come back again and it's the same thing. And tribes say more consultation and more this, more that. Well, you know, 14 years I sat in that courtroom and there was not too many tribal people that sat there. But we always had great input. My tribe was always behind this. They have sent letters. They said, we're behind this, you know, 100%. And so I really wanted to address the situation where on the outreach, because this outreach has been going on. You know, should we got more than $3.4 billion? I would have liked to got more than $3.4 billion. Like the chairman, I wanted $280 billion at one point in time. And you know, but what's reasonable? What's reasonable during this time? Before so many people pass away and die of poverty. I just came from Pine Ridge. I just came from Rosebud, and things are tough. Things are tough in those situations. You can't believe the roads that I traveled. They don't even have paved roads. And so I just want to continue to address the other thing that I did on my own, just trying to get information out because of the misinformation. You know, oh, the treaties are being violated. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, there's going to be no future claims. And so I just began issuing Ask Eloise letters. Why don't you ask us? We know. You know, don't go to your tribal chairman that have already said they don't know anything about it. Ask us. So I start submitting. This is the fourth Ask Eloise letter. And what we do is we collect questions from all the IIM account holders. They give us questions and we address them, constantly address them. And so it's a good way of getting out and really working with people. I guess I want to talk a little bit about the $1,500 and the accounting portion of, no, you all know sitting up here and everybody's talked about it, you've allocated hundreds of millions of dollars for an accounting and there just can't be an accounting. There's too many missing documents. The documents are gone, so you can't do an accounting. So we had to settle on that. You know, we were asking for $48 billion. The court came back and said, no, I think I'll give you $455 million. And then the appellate court said, well, you know, go back to district court and said, oh, the government can do any type of an accounting they want. They can do an accounting for the low-hanging fruit, for accounts that have 100,000 or more in them. So it wasn't a legal accounting, and you can take as long as you want. So we could have been looking at another 100 years for an accounting. And so those are the reasons that we settled. And those are the reasons that we fought on the table with Department of Justice Interior to making sure that we got the best settlement. It was very important to us to have people understand that this would not be taxable. Many of the people that are going to be receiving this money, they're poor. They're poor. Entitlement programs are very important to them. The majority of people are on SSI, on TANF, on food stamps, and we wanted to ensure that those were not disrupted. And so in this settlement agreement, we will not be held victims to having those go away. I guess maybe the other area that I want to talk about is the trust mismanagement claims. The government wanted that. The government wanted it. And we sat and talked about them. We actually did a study of how many claims had been filed on land mismanagement by individual Indians. There wasn't that many. And the reason there isn't that many is because people don't have the money to sue. And that's why I sued the government on behalf of the 500,000 individual Indians. And not one tribe gave one penny for this litigation. Let me ensure that item to you. I went out and raised the money so that we could have justice. And so I know how difficult it is. And so I know that individuals that want to resolve these trust mismanagement claims, that they have the option to. They can opt out. And I think that it's been discussed several times over and over that there is going to be a fairness hearing. Everybody that's, you know, doesn't like what's happening, then go to the fairness hearing. Be heard. And the judge will determine. You know, the judge played an active role in this. When he called the parties together, he said, you could litigate forever. I don't see any judicial solution. Because he knew we've been in court for 14 years. We could be in court for another 20 years. And we don't want to go to the Supreme Court. I mean, that option is open for us. And many of you ask, why is there a sense of urgency? There's a sense of urgency because we have timelines, and I know Bill Doris will discuss that with you, where we lose out on our option to go to the Supreme Court. But that's our next option, is to go to the Supreme Court. You can do the right thing here. You can act and act quickly and get this approved so we can get money to individual Indians that have been abused for so many years. Let's move on. Let's get this behind us, and let's move on. And I urge this Congress to take me seriously. It's been difficult. It's been a difficult 14 years. And I thought the hard part was over when we had a legal settlement between the plaintiffs and the defendants. I thought that all we had to do was come up and talk to Congress, because they had so many hearings that they knew about this. And it's almost like sometimes Congress acts oblivious to all the issues that we've talked about. And I'm not criticizing, because I need your support to approve this. But I'd like to stop there and just take any questions.